Greetings, grace and peace to you on this day in April. Here we are. It's Holy Week, and you got probably more stuff than you can shake a stick at this week with opportunities for Bible studies, for worship, and for joining and serving in and through Christ community. So prayers and blessings over you as you seek to do all of that. And to that end, because it is Holy Week, I'm going to do something a little bit different. Rather than focusing in on the Maundy-Thursday text or the Good Friday text or even the Easter text, I want to share with you a little bit of background on what, for many, was the worship order of the 3 days, in particular Easter Vigil, or the Vigil of Easter, Saturday night. And I don't know if any of you have been a part of a worship experience like that. I have in two of the congregations in which I served. We have that as a tradition. And it's a totally unique experience in that there's a whole lot of biblical reading, storytelling, imagery. And the first half is typically focused in on stories of water, birth, and death, coming to life in God. And then the second half of the service focuses and moves into the story of the cross and resurrection and this new thing that God is doing. And so I'm going to throw the kitchen sink at you, and I can't read all of these to you, but I'm just going to put them out there as offerings and allow you to open up your Bibles and see where God maybe would want to speak to you. But on Easter Vigil, it's what we would say is the night of salvation. People gather around fire, word, water, bread, wine, proclaiming through the story and song that ours is a God who continually brings life out of death. And so on this in-between time of Good Friday and Easter Sunday, in that place of quiet, the early church wanted to hear of God's baptismal promise as the center of faith. And so there was this catechumenate process of teaching biblical story and people moving their way toward baptism, where they would be claimed and cleansed and renewed through the death and resurrection of Christ. So we know that Easter is so much about God overcoming death, that death has finally been defeated. It was the last thing that finally had to have its end, that God could say, I will bring new life even through that. So nothing will separate me from my people. And that's important. But for Paul and for the church, the early church, it was so important to say, and so what does death to life look like in the here and now while you have your life and breath? And I think that is important for the saints, because in every time and place, we are to celebrate that good news that Christ is risen, that alleluias will ring out, and that, yes, God is with us and for us. And so we want the radiance of the risen Christ to dwell over us. We want God to renew the church through the spirit of baptism. We want to worship in light and truth of who God is. And yes, we want to be restored and ignited to live a passionate and purposeful faith in the life in which we've been given. Because God pours out grace, and we respond with more grace and more life. And so I'm going to move through some different scriptures and just give a summary of each of those. And again, leave you a little bit lighter today, even though this is the kitchen sink, knowing that you will have so much to participate in during this Holy Week time. Well, some of the texts that traditionally are part of an Easter Vigil worship service, the in-between time between death to new life. One of those is Genesis 1, verses 1 through 2, verse 4. And the summary of that is it's the story of creation, where God's mercy ultimately endures forever. That God creates and creates and creates, and we are blessed by that creation. And in and through, God's mercy will endure forever. Well, then we have another text, which is Genesis chapter 7, verses 1 through 5 and 11 to 18, chapter 8, 6 to 18, and chapter 9, verse 8 to 13. And this is the story of the flood. Again, part of our people's story, right? Living in and through all of the activity of where they see God at work in the world. And the response to this flood story where God makes promises to us is Psalm 146, where the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Yes, even through the worst of things, God is our stronghold. And then the next text that would be read is Genesis 22, verses 1 through 18. And you might be familiar with this, that this is the testing of Abraham. And he takes his son up to the mountaintop to make this sacrifice. And God says, no, I don't want sacrifice like that. I really want your heart. I want you to participate with me in life. And so the psalm response that goes with Genesis 22, 1 to 18 in this testing of Abraham is Psalm 16, where we respond, God, you show us the pathways of life. You come to us and reveal your plan and purpose for how it is that we are to live. And then we move to the next story of Exodus 14, verses 10 through 31, and Exodus 15, 20 to 21. And this is the story that we love to teach in Sunday school, the deliverance of God's people at the Red Sea, or the Reed Sea, as some articulate that. And as Moses leads God's people through that experience, they are delivered, and those who sought to destroy them are washed away. And the response comes in the 15th chapter of Exodus, where the people say, I will sing to the Lord who has triumphed gloriously. Yes, I will sing to the Lord who's triumphed gloriously. And this is a people of faith trying to point to how it is, again, they see God's activity in the world, which is so, so important. We don't always understand how God works. We don't always understand what God's up to. We don't always understand God's plan or purpose. But we still, as a people of faith, say God is in it. God will use this somehow for good. And even if we tag some things on God that just might not be true, right? We say that God did X, Y, Z. It's a faith statement more than anything else, that God is in it, in this place and in this time. And then the worshiping community would turn to Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 11, where the text talks about how salvation is freely offered to all. And the response comes from Isaiah 12, verses 2 through 6. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Again, God pouring out the gift of life and hope, new life and new birth. Then we go to Proverbs 8, 1 through 8 and 19 to 21. Proverbs 9, 4b through 6. And this is all about the wisdom of God. And oh, how we want to search the wisdom of God. And the congregation's response would be Psalm 19, the statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice the heart. Again, once we come to know God and understand this God, engage in life with this God, we want our hearts to rejoice in the move of faith and life together. And then one of the great texts that we turn to, we get to the book of Ezekiel. And we read Ezekiel 36, 24 to 28. And this is where the writer says that I will put a new heart and a new spirit within you. Yes, God will do that. It's not about your work to get the new heart and the new spirit, but God will give a new heart and a new spirit. And so the response is from Psalm 42 and 43, which is the basis of this podcast. I thirst for God, for the living God. We want to stay thirsty for this one who puts a new heart and a new spirit within us. And then Ezekiel 37, 1 to 14, the story of the valley of dry bones and how these bones are scattered throughout. But it's God who's going to take those bones and put flesh upon them and muscle upon them again and form them into a body and into a people. And the congregation's response comes through Psalm 143, revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake. A beautiful response. Revive me, refresh me, fill me, breathe into me, O God, so that I can really live. If you don't read any other ones, read that Ezekiel text, both 36 and in chapter 37. And then we turn to the book of Zephaniah. Most people never touch the book of Zephaniah. Most people say, what? There's a book called Zephaniah. Yes, there is. And this text from chapter 3, verse 14 through 20, is the full gathering of God's people. And as this people gathers to worship, to live in communion with God, our response comes from Psalm 98, where we lift up our voice, where we rejoice and we sing. Yes, church, that's the heart of worship. And everyone is called into that moment in time and place to have the heart of worship. I think that centers us and opens us up to paying attention to God. And then we go to the book of Jonah, chapter 1 through the beginning of chapter 2. This is the deliverance of Jonah. And church, where was he? In the belly of the whale. He doesn't want to do what God's asking. He doesn't want to be the prophet to the people. So he runs away. He gets swallowed up. And then he gets spit out, vomited out by the whale onto the beach, still complaining. The tree withers and he sits in the hot sun and finally says, okay, Lord, fine. I will go and do it. But there's the deliverance of Jonah. And the response comes in the verses to follow, where deliverance belongs to the Lord. And God's people throughout time and history, through war and famine, insurrection, pain, all kinds of incalculable human suffering, a people of God always pray for God to bring the deliverance, to lead a people out, to move people from bondage to freedom. Again, so much in our love language for how we understand God here, that God is at work. And then we turn to the book of Isaiah, and we read chapter 61, verses 1 through 4 and 9 through 11. And this text is all about being clothed in the garments of salvation, where God clothes us. God makes us righteous. And the response from the congregation comes from Deuteronomy 32, where it is, great is our God, the rock, whose ways are just. That God is the foundation upon which we are to build our lives. And God will clothe us and adorn us and make us holy. And then to the book of Daniel. So this is 12 texts I've given you here. Daniel 3, verses 1 through 29. And this is the story of deliverance from the fiery furnace. There's this song, response that comes, that we will praise and magnify the Lord forever. The story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and all of those living through the fiery furnace, those come to mind. And again, the response is, somehow, some way, God willed and worked for good in and through all of these people. Daniel being in a lion's den and being freed, being saved. Again, pointing back to God. God is the one to be praised in our deliverance. So most of the worship service that you would experience on an Easter vigil, or the night of reading scripture in your home, gathering with family, gathering with those on a journey of faith, would come from the Hebrew scripture. And then there'd only be two simple readings from the New Testament on this night. Romans 6, verses 3 through 11 is the first one. And that text is all how we are incorporated into the death of Jesus and baptism, and we're liberated from the dominion of sin. And we also anticipate that then we're going to be incorporated into the resurrected body of Christ, so that we will actually be liberated from the death hold that it has over our mortal bodies. That God, even in and through death, will do a new thing. Resurrection life will break through. And so the Romans text, a wonderful baptismal text and baptismal imagery. And then we read from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. And that text, again, is our resurrection story. It's the text that we'll be looking at in and through Easter, along with the other resurrection stories. We always get to choose which one to use on Easter morning. But we're reminded that this morning for those first disciples, for the women who approached the tomb, it began with confusion. But the stone had been rolled back and the tomb was empty. The disciples arrive, and then angels, and finally Jesus himself. And out of the confusion, hope emerges, and a weeping woman becomes the first to confess her faith in the risen Lord. Yes, I have seen the Lord. Well, church, that's the hope for all of us, isn't it? That we indeed will see the Lord. And we see the Lord in the activity that happens through Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Vigil, and Easter Sunday. The whole story of God brought to fruition through Christ. And so may you live in resurrection hope this week. Again, a little bit shorter for you today, but a lot of biblical texts to take a peek at. Take a look at those. Live in that place of tension. Live in that in-between time, but always remember that he has been raised and that that is our proclamation out of which we live. All right. Stay thirsty, my friends.